We spoke about last week about Saul and his fear. Today we want to talk about David and having faith like David. You remember David was the king of Israel, and he did some extraordinary things, but only because he had tremendous faith in his life. If he had been fearful as Saul was, then he would not have been able to do those things that he was commissioned to do. So I often think, why is it some people seem to have more difficult life than others do? And it seems like there are some people who just excel in everything they do. Whatever they put their hand to, it just works. Other people, no matter what they put their hand to, it doesn't work. Now, one of the determining factors, of course, in our ability to have good life is for us to make wise decisions. Okay. Good decisions often bring about good results. Poor decisions often bring about poor results. I wonder sometimes, and I look, we have many homeless in our area, and I wonder as I go by sometimes, what was the catalyst? What caused them to begin to go down this road? What decisions caused them to wind up here? Now, sometimes the decisions are not our own. Sometimes there are things that are put upon us that we just can't address at the moment. We don't know what to do with it, and it causes us to not excel. I really believe God wants us to excel. I really believe God has some good things in store for us. God had some wonderful things in store for David. Trials, struggles, difficulties all come our way. Would you agree? Okay. Now, sometimes these trials and these struggles come with individuals who put these things on us, and other things, and sometimes it's the storms of life. We've just gone through a winter storm, which was unlike anything that I've ever experienced here in the Northwest. We've just gone through a winter storm, and some people had pipes broken. Some people have other issues that are going on in their life. And yet, somehow, for some people, that will just cause them to go into a deep depression and despair. While others, it causes them to take action and do the things that they need to do. But I want you to understand this. Our character is not formed by the difficulties we face. Now, I've heard that all my life, that our character is formed by the difficulties we face. That is not correct. Our character is formed by the way we face the difficulties. Okay? David faced hard trials. Even as a youngster, he faced some things he didn't pout and whine about it. Right? He didn't get angry about it. He didn't blame others for his woes. He simply faced them and dealt with them, trusting God to work it out. Now, before we go any further, I would like, Alan, would you pray for me as I begin this morning, please? Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Alan. So David was the baby of the family. As a matter of fact, you would think most time babies are babied. But that was not the case in David's life. He was actually treated more like a stepchild than he was an actual child. I want you to notice what takes place when Samuel goes to... So, you remember from last week, Saul was removed from kingship, or God had said, you're no longer going to be king. And they anointed David instead, or Samuel did. And so what takes place is that God told Samuel to go down to Bethlehem And I want you to, when you get there, I want you to call Jesse's family together and have all the family come together. And I want you to anoint one of his sons to be the next king. Okay. Now this deal with Samuel coming to town is a big deal, right? I mean, he is the priest of all of Israel. He's like the prophet. I mean, he is the prophet. And what the scripture says that whatever he spoke did not fall to the ground. I mean, he was a big deal. And he was coming to Bethlehem, and he was to invite Jesse and his family to join him for an evening meal. It'd be kind of like Billy Graham coming to Tillamook and saying to you, hey, I want to have a meal with you, and I want you to bring your family with you. How would you feel about that? Oh, man. Woo-hoo. Man, I'm having a meal with Billy Graham. Sweet. Now, would you leave any of your children out? Well, let's look at what happens when Samuel comes. Matter of fact, the passage of scripture reads, the Lord told to Samuel, verse 4. Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of town came trembling to meet him. What's wrong? They asked, because they thought they were in trouble. Did you come in peace? Yes, Samuel replied. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves. Come with me to the sacrifice. And then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. So they were to all be there. But guess who was not there? David was not there. He was out tending sheep. It was almost like they didn't care if he was part of the family or not. It was as if he was rejected. He was the run of the family, and they could care less. They just wanted him to stay with the sheep and not participate in this big event, this huge event that was taking place in his hometown to honor his family. Isn't that amazing? That why would you leave your kid out? Because, well, I really don't like that kid. I mean, that's the only thing I can figure out. All right. I mean, why else would you do that? I don't want him to be honored with the rest of my family. So, you know, we look at David and we think, man, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth and he had everything really good. But that's not the case. It seems like he was rejected by his family. But listen, regardless of his rejection by his family, he was not rejected by the Lord. Okay? And perhaps many of you here today have been rejected by your family. You feel like you're a castaway. They haven't included you in things that you should have been included in. But yet, I want to let you know that God has not rejected you. Others may have rejected you, but God has not rejected you. As a matter of fact, not only has God not rejected you, he has a plan for your life just like he had a plan for David's life. You need to embrace that. You need to hang on to that. You need to live with that. And every day, regardless of the situations you find yourself in, regardless of the rejection other people place upon you, you need to just say, you know what? I don't care what everybody else thinks. The only thing I care about is what does God think? And that's where David was. The only thing he cared about was what does God think? And he did not take on the rejection. I mean, he was rejected, but he didn't wear it. That was not the coat that he wore. As a matter of fact, we find later on, one day, his three brothers were out fighting a war with King Saul. Okay. And the only way they had to eating is if family provided the food. And so one day Jesse brings David out of herding the sheep. And he says, listen, I want you to take this food down to the army. And I want you to feed your brothers and take some snacks for Saul too. And so he took them there. And while he was there, there was this giant who had come to the valley. David heard this giant cursing the Lord and cursing Israel. And it kind of riled him a bit. Okay. And he's like, isn't somebody going to take care of this situation? And one of the soldiers says, you know, the king has said, if someone will take care of this situation, then that person is going to get to marry his beautiful daughter. And also, the family's not going to have to pay any taxes. And David said, sounds good to me. And so he asked another soldier, is that actually what Saul has said? Yep. That's what he said. And then his brother Eliab hears him over having this conversation, and it makes Eliab angry. So if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, said David's oldest brother Eliab heard David talking to the men. This is verse 28. He was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know your pride and your deceit. You just want to see the battle. And David's like, what did I do? I was just asking a question. So Eliab was irritated, irate at David. I don't know why, but I do know this, that he did not accept David. And perhaps one of the reasons is when Samuel got to Jesse's family, Eliab was the first in line, and Samuel's thinking, man, this guy's looking good. I think he's the guy for kingship. And when he thought that, God said, nope, it's not him. I've rejected him from being king. It's somebody else. So he goes down the line, Shimei and the other guys and all seven of them. And it's like, well. And every time God said, nope, 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 nope. And then Samuel's like, Jesse, do you have any other kids? Yeah. He's out taking care of the sheep. Bring him in. We're not going to eat till he gets here. I don't know if that's the reason Eliab was upset or not, but he was hot. He was upset. He was angry. He had some bitterness, something toward David. Now, some people, I heard a message a few years ago, and it has caused me to wonder about the statement regarding David and what this pastor mentioned. The pastor mentioned that David was probably an illegitimate son. And I never considered that before. But if you remember, there's a passage of scripture in Psalms. Let me see if I can find that. Psalm 51:5. Scripture says, and you're familiar with this, but I never interpreted it this way. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And I'm like, that's interesting. Could it be that it's more than just him being treated like a stepchild? Maybe he was an illegitimate kid. And that's why the brothers didn't like him. I don't know, but it's something to think about. Regardless of the reason, he was not accepted. Okay? You get the picture? He was not accepted. He was rejected. It was almost like his whole family just didn't want to have anything to do with him. But regardless of the ill treatment, David was an overcomer. He did not allow what others thought of him to blur his vision of who God created him to be. He did not allow their opinion of him to cripple him. with fear or poor self-esteem so that he was unable to hear God's opinion of him. He didn't allow anger, bitterness, and resentment to creep in his heart toward his family members. But rather, if you know the story, when Saul began to pursue David and try to kill him, not only did Saul try to kill him, he tried to kill his whole family. And David said, come on with me, I will protect you. Come on with me, I will provide for you. Whatever you need, I'll take care of you. I tell you what, I want a heart like that, right? I want a heart like that. And not only were there relationship issues, and all of us have them, not only were there relationship issues, there were other problems besides. You may remember when Saul brought David in, remember David was asking the questions, what's Saul going to do? I probably ought to go talk to that guy. And so Saul brought him in, and as they were talking, Saul was concerned about David's safety, because here David was a runt, a little kid, maybe mid-teens, who knows, but he's still a youngster, okay? And he's going to fight, he wants to go fight a 9.5-foot giant. And so Saul is concerned about it. And so Saul is asking these questions, I don't know that you're able to do this. And David says, listen, I want you to hear what God has done for me. And he always turned it to God. I want you to hear what God has done for me. He said, when I was out taking care of these sheep, a lion came in, took one of my sheep, and took off down the field with it, and I ran him down with a club in my hand, and I beat him to death, and I got my sheep back. And not only that, a bear came and got one of my sheep. It made me so angry, I got my club, and I went and I attacked him. He turned on me. I grabbed him by the beard and just slammed him like that. He died. I got my sheep back. Wow. Wow. And if God can deliver me from a bear and a lion, it's nothing for him to deliver me from that giant. Did you know that God uses your experiences to build you, good, bad, and ugly, to create in you, to build in you what he wants you to do. He has a plan for your life. And a lot of times we look at these the things that happen to our life, and we say, man, it's debilitating. It's horrendous. I don't know. I'm just going to have to quit. But no, God is trying to build something in you so that you can fulfill the assignment he has upon your life. Okay? So I want you to start looking at your difficulties in a different way. We all go through them. But how you look at your difficulties will determine, and how you face your difficulties will determine whether or not you're going to reach what God has planned for you in your life. Because your difficulties should not define you. Your character is not created by your difficulties. Your character is formed by the way you face your difficulties. Okay? Have a heart like David. Have a heart like David. I know God has a wonderful destiny for you. Every one of you. You might say, how do you know? You don't know me very well. I may not know you very well, but I know God. I know him very well. And I know that he has a destiny for every single one of you, every one of you. And whether you move into that destiny or not is not up to God. It's up to you. And you, listen, I'm speaking to you who feel like this morning that God has really nothing for you. I'm speaking to you. And if you will listen, God is affirming that in your heart this morning. You need to reach out and grab it. Allow God to do in your heart what he wants to do so you can become the person that God has desired and designed for you to be. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but you must go with him through the difficulties. Trusting him, following him, continuing to hold on to him and to his promises, even when it looks hopeless. You have to. The enemy is going to do everything he can to destroy you and destroy God's plans for you. I mean, if you look at David's life, there was a lot of destructive forces that came his way to try to stifle what God had in him. Okay? Now, the whole entire army of Israel was pursuing him. Can you imagine? And he just kept trusting God, running. Trusting God, running, trusting God. And I know I mentioned the fact that David was responsible for his family, but not only was David responsible for his family, but he was responsible for 600 men who chose to follow him and their families as well during all of this time, during all of this season. Did I mention that he was running from Saul and went to the land of the Philistines, which was his sworn enemy, and trying to get away from Saul? And it was just by a miracle of God that the Amalek, who embraced him and said, "Well, since Saul, since you're a deserter of Israel, and since you're enemies with Saul, you must be on my side." So he allowed David and his men to have their own little town and city. God just kind of worked things out when it looked hopeless. David, at every turn, sought the Lord, who was faithful to guide him through the difficulty. I didn't mention, but you need to be aware of this if you're not already. Right? David had a nickname. God called him a man after my own heart. So if our character is built on the way we face difficulties, then how did David make it through the difficulties without wavering, without sinking, without being in despair, without running in fear? How did he do that? I just want to share a few passages of scripture with you very quick. 1 Samuel 23:9-10, David learned of Saul's plan. Then David prayed. 2 Samuel 7:18. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed. 2 Samuel 15:31. When someone told David that his advisor Ahithophel was now backing Absalom, David prayed. 1 Chronicles 17, the King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed. 1 Chronicles 21:26. And when David prayed, the Lord answered him. 2 Samuel 21:1. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. So how did David make it through the difficult seasons? Right? He prayed, and God gave him an answer. He prayed. He listened to the Lord. And he began to obey obedient to the Lord by the things that he heard from the Spirit of the Lord. He just did what God told him to do. Listen, I'm not smart enough to make good decisions. But I am smart enough to ask the Lord and listen. I make horrible decisions when I don't ask the Lord. I think they're good decisions until the fire hits the fan or whatever. But I never make a bad decision when I ask the Lord and I hear him and follow him. I never do. Isn't that amazing? Did you know I'm not real smart, but I'm wise enough to ask? And that's what David was. I think David felt like he wasn't the smartest guy in the group either, but he knew someone to go to who was smart. And he would pray, and he would ask, and he would follow, he would obey, and things worked out good. Surprise, surprise. If you want things to work out good in your life, then embrace what God has placed in you. And when you go through difficulties, pray and listen, hear and obey. And I guarantee you, you cannot mess up if you follow that. You can't. It's impossible to mess up because God's not a mess up, right? And so David just learned to ask the right questions and learn to listen well. And learned to follow. And he became the greatest king in Israel because he followed the Lord. He moved into what God had planned for him all his life because he was not ruled in fear and he was not ruled in rejection. He was not ruled in any other thing except he allowed the Lord to rule his life. That's all. That's all. And I guarantee you, if you learn to put your trust in the Lord, just as David learned to put his trust in the Lord and began to follow him, things will always go well with you, even during the difficulties. I'm sure if we took a poll this morning and asked you if you've ever made any poor decisions during difficult season, every hand would go up because we forget to ask the Lord. We forget that he's got a plan, and we forget that we are part of that plan, and that he is very involved in every situation we face. There was a famine in the land for 3 years, and David's like, this is unusual. Maybe a year, maybe 2 years, but 3 years? God has made promises to bless Israel. And they're not, and we're not being blessed. So what's up? You know, that's a good question. If you're not receiving the blessings of God, you need to say, what's up? What's up? So David said, what's up? What's going on? And the Lord spoke to him. He said, because of the way Saul treated the Gibeonites, this has come upon you. And David says, well, what do I do about it? And God gave him instruction. David followed through, and the famine was over. Man, I want a leader like that. I want a leader like that, and I want to lead like that. I want to lead like that. So, was David ever frightened? Of course he was. Now, Cynthia and I were watching a movie. What were, was, whatever it was. Anyway, we were watching a movie Friday and Saturday. It was a little bit lengthy, so we didn't watch it all Friday. And it had to do with a fellow named David, another guy named David. And the name of it was Free Burma Rangers. Now, Burma has been in a civil war for over 50 years, longest running civil war on record. And the Lord told, and so David, I can't recall his last name, but this guy, David, not King David, this Ranger David, had been in the military, had been in the Army Rangers, and he said, you know, his dad was a minister, a missionary. He said, I don't, you know, that's not me. I'm a warrior. I don't know what to do if I'm not fighting or warring or whatever. And so the Lord instructed him to go into Burma and began to aid individuals who were suffering because of the war. And so he would go into these firefights, no weapon. Well, no, he did have a weapon. But that was not intent. His intent was not to get involved in the war. His intent was to save the people who were being shot, landmines, those kind of things, and bring them and offer them aid. Just before, well, as he was debating on going to Burma, he was dating this lady, and he said to her, I feel like the Lord wants me to go to Burma to help out. And so, will you marry me and go to Burma with me to help in this work? She said, yeah, I believe so. With some trepidation, of course. She married him. Their honeymoon was in Burma as they were traveling. I mean, they immediately went to Burma and began to minister to these individuals. And while they were there, they had three children. Now, most people like that would send them to boarding schools or have family members. But no, they allowed their children to be raised with them. And he's constantly going into these firefights and different things and bringing people out. He even went into Iraq and was shot and wounded. But, you know, he was able to save numerous people. Because he felt like that's what does he ever get frightened? Of course. But throughout the documentary, he's like, God, are you sure you want me to do this? You know, this could cost the lives of me, and who's going to protect my family? And those are good questions. But the bottom line is this David would just continue to do what God told him to. And the wife said something to this effect. I'm more safe in Burma doing what God would want me to do than I would be in the United States not doing what God wanted me to do. That's faith. That's a walk of faith. Now, King David had a walk of faith, and it propelled him to a place where he became the king over Israel. Did David ever get frightened? Yes. In Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Isn't that a remarkable verse? And here's what I know. If you have fear about following the Lord, and you have fear about doing what he says, if you have fear about a situation, a problem that's come in your life, if you seek the Lord regarding that fear, he will deliver you from all your fears. I know because he's done it for me. And he will do it for you as well. So here's some life lessons we can learn from David. Everything you've been through, all your gifts, all your experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly, have prepared you for the next step of what God has prepared for you to do. So I need you to answer this question. Does God have a destiny plan for you? Okay. You can answer out loud. Okay. So remember, your character is formed by the way you face difficult situations. Third thing, prayer, asking for direction from God and listening for His voice will guide you in making the right decisions. Four, walking in fear will keep you from the destiny God has planned for you. Saul's life is an example. Number five, God can remove all your fears. So can I ask you a question, and you don't have to answer this out loud, but you need to think about it. What is your greatest fear? You believe God can deliver you from that? Whatever that greatest fear is, God can and will, if you seek Him, deliver you from that too. And number six, learning to walk with God and trust Him in any area, in every area of your life, is the key to fulfilling your God-given destiny. Those are some life lessons. There are more, but David is a great example of a person who desired what God wanted for him and went after it. And it did not allow anything, any problem, any person to stand in his way. Now, when he was out taking care of the sheep, I'm sure he had no clue that he was going to be the next king of Israel. Okay? Had no clue. But what he did was he did what was placed in front of him to the best of his ability. He took that responsibility to heart, and he did it with his whole heart. And I would just say to you, another life lesson is, do what God has placed you to do right now with your whole heart so that He can propel you to the next step. Okay? Whatever God has placed in your hand, just do it to the best of your ability with your whole heart and let God determine what your next step will be. So I want to ask you a question. Can you trust God with your life? A lot of times we say yes, but then when the rubber meets the road, we forget, oh, God's doing something in this. I need to trust Him. It's easy to trust God when everything's going great, right? But we need to trust Him even when things aren't going that great. And I would just encourage you, maybe right now, tell God, I will trust You with my life, even those things I don't understand. I place my past, my present, and my future into Your hands. I trust You. And sometimes we may need to make those declarations. I trust You. I trust You. I trust You. Even when, especially when, I trust You. You may not become a ruler of a nation, but God has some good things in store for you. But you have to learn to trust and obey. There's an old song we used to sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask our worship team to come forward. Before you leave today, you need to make a conscious decision. In your heart, you need to make this decision to the Lord. And you might even tell your neighbor, I have decided to follow God's plan for my life. For some of you, that's scary. It's scary not knowing the future. That's why we call it trust, right? We have to trust. And you need to begin to ask, if you have fear in your heart, I'll just ask you to consider, take that before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm afraid of what you're going to do if I give you all. Is it hard for you to trust him with everything? Do you think God has something better for you than what you're holding on to? Can you trust him with that? We're going to let the worship team sing. You can join in, but what I would prefer you do, if you haven't made that decision, I want you to contemplate what I'm asking you to do this morning. And if you've made that decision in your heart to trust God, even with the unknown, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and I want to pray for you.